You know, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and again, I've been encouraging for the last 3 weeks. If you've missed one of the sermons or whatever, just go back and listen to it online. Just because God has been ministering to us about being filled with the Spirit. By the way, if they're good, they're good. Just saying, you know. And so, yeah, just want to encourage that. Last week, then, so the picture that Candace had and what she drew here, and it was the corner, right? And I've been just meditating on that ever since. I talked about it on Monday night, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, too, just because I think there is stuff for all of us. I'm going to just wait then. Yeah. Like, I don't wait, just so you know my thinking in this, and even wanting the kids to stay as much as possible, like, what I would say is if they're content, don't worry about it, but that's just my thinking, because I don't want us to miss anything, and it's not about, oh, you can't miss what I have to say. No, it's hopefully you know me well enough where I don't even have to explain that. It's really this place of, I really think, I know that God has things to share, and I don't want anyone to miss it. Because sometimes when you miss one part, like, it's just like in life. It's just like in any job, like, if you're fixing engines or doing a math equation or whatever, you miss one part and all of a sudden the other stuff doesn't make as much sense. And the Lord wants to take us places. Anywho, so I've been meditating on the whole corner thing. And Carly and I have talked a little bit about it this week, and I was talking to her about things I think I want to share, and she's like, well, you shared that on Sunday, and I was like, did I? Sometimes I can't even remember. But it's like, well, I got to share it again, I think, because it's even a deeper emphasis in me, and I don't mind preaching the same thing over and over again. It's a lot easier sermon preparation than just keep preaching the same sermon. Nah, just kidding. But as I was meditating on this, and I do think it's for me, but I think it's for us, and with this arrow pointing towards the corner, right? If you remember, I'll just draw it quickly here again. So it started out like this, and then like this. And Candace emphasized that it didn't just look like a corner, it was a corner. And it started out with the arrow, and then the line came, and I'm right in the corner. I'm not on the line, I'm just right in the corner. And as I was meditating and praying on this, and I think it's for, again, it's for me, it's for us, it's the emphasis that came to me, and if I said this last week already, then forgive me. If I said it Monday, forgive me. I'm going to say it again. The emphasis came, like, this is as far as you can go unless you go up. Like, you've gone as far as you can go on this plane. The only way you can go further is go up. And then I imagine there's another plane. Like, you can keep going, but you have to go up. You have to go higher. You have to go higher, Kevin. You have to Because and not that this isn't good, not that the floor part of that corner isn't good. It is. And I've said it before, I know God better than I ever thought I would. Like you asked me 25 years ago, like what do you think the high point, like what is your ceiling, if you will? Like what do you want your relationship with the Lord to look like? What do you want life to look like? What do you want church to look like? Like all these things. This is beyond what we're experiencing already, is beyond what I would have dreamed. It really is. The contentment, the joy, the fellowship, the family, the hearing God and walking with Him and what He has done in relationships in my life, whether it's my marriage or with my kids, or it's beyond. And what we experience, like I love you. Like I love this. I love Emmanuel Grace. I just love what God's doing. I love hearing how God is moving in your lives. And the part I look forward to most is when we share. And so, like, I love it. Okay, this is better than I thought. And yet, here I am, and I'm not at the end of life yet, at least not that I know of, right? Like, but statistically speaking, and it's like, and the Lord is saying, there's more. I know that this is more than you thought, but there's more. But you've gone as far as you can go, and unless you go higher, you got to go higher. And it's not just that He's offering it to me; He's also calling it, like calling me to it. I think it's just that our calling is always greater than we think it is. It's always because He's always just calling us closer and closer to Himself. Right. And so, but it's also an offering. Like, yeah, you can, I almost feel like God's saying, you can stay here. You can stay on that level. Like, I'm showing you how to go up, but you can stay just on this level. I'm not sure how that would work because I always say, like, you have to be growing. You can't just remain because there's something death, like, and stagnant about just remaining. And so, but it is our choice. Like, we always have choice. But I want to go higher. I'm in this corner and looking up and saying, yeah. And that's been my heart's desire, like, for so much of my life. I just want that, Lord. But I hear the Lord saying, yeah, right now, this is as far as you can go without going higher. And so I wrote down a few questions, like, because I don't think it's just for me. Maybe, and if it's, but, like, are you feeling stuck? Do you feel like you're in a corner and can't go further? You need to go higher. Sometimes, if you're like me, you try and bust through the corner. You try and bust through the wall. You just bang your head against the wall. I had this funny little picture. If I was an artist, I would draw it. But it's this, this cartoon character coming up to a wall. But instead of banging through the wall, you just bloop, bloop, and just walks up the wall like, as if the wall is the floor and gravity works this way instead of this way. And that's what we need to do. We need to walk up. And we need to go up. This is as far as I can go. It reminds me of the phrase that we joke about every once in a while. You can't get there from here. Where God wants to take us, you can't get there from here. Meaning this level. You have to go up. So then, A, what does that mean? I just hear, again, Lindsay, I love that. I'm so thankful for her question so long ago. Just, okay, practically, what does that mean? What does it mean, even like with the context of these last four or five sermons? I don't know how long we've been talking about. We started with baptism of the Holy Spirit and talking about that a few times, and then going on to being full and saturated with the Spirit. And I think this is it all works together. It's all the same thing over and over and over again that the Lord is emphasizing to us. But what does it mean? What does it mean? I think to sum it up, it does mean that heavenly focus. That it does mean that, the old hymn, "A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." What that means is where I have a I have a heavenly mindset more and more. Carlene was talking about prayer. I heard a great quote, it wasn't a quote per se, but Dr. Michael Brown was talking about Smith Wigglesworth. If you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth, he lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in that area of. I don't know when he passed away. I'm looking at Forrest because he's been a part of the Pentecost. You've been a part of the charismatic circles for a long time, but I don't know if you know when he passed away. But I don't know when in the 1900s. Anyways, doesn't matter. Amazing story, and just blow your mind with some of these things that were going on in his life, and close walk with God. But the thing that Dr. Brown was saying was Smith Wigglesworth once said that he never prays for more than half an hour. And that shocked me, because I know men and women of God who pray for longer periods of time than that. And it's like, oh. He goes, yeah, he never prays for more than half an hour, but he never lets a half an hour go without praying. He never prays for more than half an hour, but he never lets a half hour go by without praying. So if he takes 10 minutes to pray, and then he says amen, if you will, within the next half hour, he'll begin praying again. And he'll say amen. And from the time he says amen, within the next half hour, he'll be praying again. And it just hit me. It's hard. I've actually been trying. I said, I'm not sure I can do a half hour. I'm going to try every hour, like at least to stop, just to stop. And it's not, I'm not trying a legalistic thing like keeping track. Okay, I said amen at 11:30 or 10:38, and I've got to set my alarm on my phone, you know, kind of thing. Not a legalistic thing, but it, for my sake, to keep my eyes heavenward, right? And it's like I want to just try and lift up my eyes, to lift up my head. And, you know, it's like the psalm says, lift up your, where does my help come from? I lift my eyes up. You are my help. And so I've been trying, and I failed miserably, and yet, like, not miserably, but like all of a sudden it's 2 hours, 3 hours later. It's like, oh Lord, I forgot. And he's not upset. He's like, Kevin, I'll give you one more chance. No. He's like, I'm excited. This is exciting, Kevin. Good. All right. Keep going. Good effort. Good job. Like, oh, I love that you want to lift your eyes towards me. And often it started with thankfulness. It really does. At least I think of the passage, right, in Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so I would just try and, Lord, I thank you again. And the beautiful thing is, when you're trying to remind yourself to lift your eyes heavenward and pray every hour, or Smith Wigglesworth every half hour, you kind of run out of the usual things you pray for, you know. It's like, but it opens your eyes to all the things, like for instance with thankfulness, all the things that we have to be thankful for. And I'm thanking him for obviously the obvious, thanking him for who he is, for his graciousness, for salvation, for his love, for his forgiveness. Okay. I'm thanking him for my family, for my wife, and for my children, and thanking him for my church family, and for just the wonderful things he's doing here and the opportunities we have. And now I thank him for the beautiful day. Lord, thank you for, and I'm not saying this facetiously. I truly sit and contemplate, like just dwell on it a little bit. Yeah, we do live in a beautiful area. Oh my goodness. Like you said, when we were talking, Kev, you know, we live in an area that other people want to come and visit. Like we live in such a beautiful place that other people come from all over the place to, you know, and we think, oh, traffic. Yeah, you know what? We don't live in a place that people want to flee from, you know? we live in a place that, like, it's so beautiful there. Let's go to Niagara. Oh, it's a gorgeous day. Today, as we head home down highway, you know, if you take Highway 55 or whatever, there'll be traffic. Why? Because it's a gorgeous day out and people are like, let's go to the vineyards. Let's go to Old Town. Let's go down to the beach in Niagara. Let's go to Victoria Park. Let's go to Queen's Park. Let's walk around Old Town. Let's go into some of those beautiful shops. Let's get an ice cream. We live in a great place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beauty. Look at the escarpment over there. Oh, it's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I start thanking the Lord for everything from just the beauty of nature and the specific designs of different things. One prayer that I've always I incorporate in our mealtime prayer every so often is, thank you, Lord, for taste buds. I love that God gave us taste buds and that we can taste things and enjoy different flavors and all that. But again, lifting my eyes heavenward, and I start with thankfulness. I start with praise. I praise you for your patience. I praise you for your kindness. I praise you that you love us so much that you don't just call us, you don't call us slaves, you call us your children. You adopt us into your family. Thank you. I praise you. You are worthy. You know, I read through scriptures. We were sometime recently, I was reading a little bit in Revelation there. Maybe it was even last week on Sunday there, where, you know, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. He can open the seals on the scroll, you know, and worthy is the Lamb who died for us, and praise you and worship you, creator, sustainer, all these things, and just spending time. And it is incredible. Thanks and praise. The complaining, and I get that. Like, I'm a little bit more emotional too. I'm more emotional than most guys, and that. And I've gone through my times of, you know. But praise and thanksgiving just dispel that. And as I lift my eyes heavenward, I find that I start being lifted up towards heaven. It's like driving, right? If you're driving and you look to the left, you tend to start going to the left. If you look too long, oh, I see Tracy giving George a knowing glance. It's like so much to look at, but it is that tendency, isn't it? You look, and then you start moving, and all of a sudden, how did we get so close to the ditch? Well, it's because we were looking that way. Look to the right, we go to the right. Look straight ahead, you go straight ahead. Spiritually speaking, you look up, you go up. You start being lifted up. The Lord starts doing that work in you, and you start climbing that wall. And he takes you to a higher plane. He takes you to a higher place. So again, the practical question of how do we get there? Lift your eyes up. Think heavenward. Be thankful. Praise, worship, look to him, see things through his eyes, discipline ourselves. Let's discipline ourselves to see things through his eyes. So again, like we have an election coming up, rather than complaining about things that we don't like in our government or this or that, take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you have a plan. What do you say about this? What do you want to say? I'm going to lift my eyes up to you. I'm not going to look at the polls. I'm not going to look at the news and what the news, because the news, like, let's face it, everyone has bias now. There is very, we need to be thankful, mind you. This is another thing we can be thankful for. Our news stations like CTV and even the CBC, I know that we think the CBC is liberal. It has nothing on the news stuff going down in the States. You know, you're going to have fun this week. You know, just may God bless you and just remain calm and just, again, be on that higher level. But both conservative and liberal news down in the States, they are so divided and so biased. We actually have a lot to be thankful for. I was watching, I don't watch very much news anymore, but was watching just a little bit of CTV with, like at 11 o'clock with Lisa LaFlamme. You know, there's a promotion there, right? It was such, I don't know how else to say it, was such an encouragement and blessing because they're just presenting the facts and then let you decide. What a novel idea, right? And it was neat. They presented facts that maybe wouldn't look great towards the conservative side of things, and then they presented some facts that wouldn't look great towards the liberal side of things. They just, boom. It's like, we have a lot to be thankful for. It's not this war going on, at least in a lot of the media, like we see. So praise God. But anyways, that's an aside. As we pray about what's going to happen, as we pray for our country, lift our eyes up. If we lift our eyes up, we'll go up. Like we will be lifted up. That's how we can get there. And then I think, again, how do we climb? Okay, so we lift our eyes up, we thanks and praise. And then I think of Psalm 24, verse 3, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may dwell in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. We choose well. We choose. We choose purity. We choose holiness. We choose to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. In Hebrews 12, 14, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We choose holiness. That's how we're lifted up. I'm choosing better than I ever have before in my life. And it sounds like you made some good choices this week, Morgan. Like you made some good choices. Excellent. Keep making good choices. I'm making better choices than I ever have before, but I still have more better choices to make. More good choices to make. I was talking with Tyler this week. You know, so a few weeks ago, the Lord talked to me about some things. And so here's a practical example. So my morning looks kind of like this. So I obviously don't have a 9-to-5 job or an 8-to-5 job where I have to be at the office at a certain time. The office is just outside my bedroom and on that nice comfy green chair that I sit in so often. And so I don't have to be there like at a certain time and da da da. So and I'm blessed in that because I'm not a morning person, okay. Some people are morning people. I'm not. I don't know if I'm a late night person. I was saying to Tyler, my prime hours are between 11 and 1, okay. It, like just those 2 hours right around noontime. That's my peak. Anywho, but. What has been going on for the last few years, so my brain isn't functioning that well when I first get up. So I grab my coffee, I sit down, and what do? Or what have I done for many years? I'll open up the computer, turn it on, check sports, check a little bit of news, you know, just scroll through some stuff, check Facebook, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nothing horrible, nothing like unto do, nothing sinful, but not a great way to start your day. So a few weeks back, maybe a month ago now, I forget, I don't know how long. I just heard, I don't know if I can say I heard the Lord saying, so it's one of those where it's not this neon sign in the sky saying, Kevin, you need to change your ways. You know, not that God speaks like that, right? But, you know, it was just, you know, we're in James right now in Bible study on Tuesday night at Larry and Lil's. It's like that verse says, just ask for wisdom and he'll give you wisdom. Sometimes we, oh, Lord, I need an answer, when really we should be asking for wisdom and then we'll make wise decisions. That will be of the Lord, but again, it won't be a neon sign. I've had the neon sign thing, not literally, but figuratively, metaphorically, where God has told me something, like starting Emmanuel Grace. That was of the Lord. That wasn't wisdom, like per se. It was wise, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a wisdom decision. It was a, I'm following the Lord in this decision. Going to Thailand was a following the Lord in this kind of decision, neon light. Again, a month ago, it wasn't neon signs. It was more of, you know, that's probably not the best way to start your day. I know that when I first wake up, I can't open the scriptures and start just reading. Like, my brain isn't there for serious thought at that point. It's just not. And so what I started doing, for a while, like a year ago or whatever, I would listen to some music. But even now, I don't even do that. I'll grab my coffee. I'll sit on the couch. Carlene's in my green chair for some reason. Sharing family secrets? Oh, well. She's in my green chair. I sit on the couch with my coffee. We open the front window, the blinds, and I just drink my coffee and look out the window. And I start just, in my head, I start having little conversation with God, just sometimes, sometimes not. I have noticed a change in my life in this last month. You might think that's such a small thing. Yeah, but it seems to be such a big thing. I don't know. And again, not a neon sign. It was just, making those kind of decisions. It's drawing me higher. Like making that decision. Just that one little decision. I can feel it. I don't know how else to describe it. Sorry. But just my attitude, my heart. Even like something that has, the guys at least, and I, Carlene doesn't really struggle with this at all, but like sometimes we've talked about how we're just on the internet, and I don't know if anyone else has this, just on the internet too much. And I'm not that I'm looking at anything bad or anything I shouldn't, it's just too much. I've noticed since doing that, stopping it in the morning, I don't do it nearly as much during the day either. And it's like, interesting. And so I'm not filling my mind with that. Again, not garbage and that, just clutter. Clutter, that's a great way to put it. It's not that it's horrible, it's not rotting sewage, it's not anything, it's just clutter. I find I'm just staying away from the clutter more. Again, not a big neon sign, just wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Little choices like that. It brings you higher. The Lord starts lifting you up. So it's this place of, Lord, I want to choose holiness. The interesting thing about holiness, so purity is that moral purity, right? But holiness, the word holiness means to be set apart. And it doesn't just mean to be set apart away from the ugly, unclean things. It also sometimes means to be set apart from what everyone, like what isn't unclean necessarily, but what is, I gotta phrase that better. It's not necessarily unclean. It's just not healthy. Or it's just, again, clutter. I set apart to the Lord. I want my mind to be such that I can hear the Lord. I want to lift my eyes heavenward rather than lifting my eyes towards MSN.ca or ESPN or TSN or CNN or whatever. Facebook, just scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. What are you scrolling for? I have no idea. Just keep scrolling, though, and I'll eventually find something worth it. Scroll, 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 scroll. You're not missing much on Facebook. Although, you know, it is nice to be able to communicate with everyone else, but for announcements and that. But anyways, but you're not missing much. I find it so interesting as I just contemplate, like just, I don't know, like if it was the Lord nudging me or just, again, wisdom, asking for wisdom, because that's been one of my prayers for many years. I take James 1 very seriously. If you lack wisdom, and I know I do, ask for it and he'll give. He'll give generously to all without finding fault. Okay, so I ask, and is it just that? And where just this one little wise decision, I think, has had big effects in my life already. Just setting apart, just moving away from that, which again isn't necessarily unclean, it's just not healthy. It's clutter. And just sitting and just waking up slowly with coffee and, oh Lord, thank you, this is a good day. Thank you for coffee. It's a good thing to thank the Lord for. Thank you for coffee. It's a beautiful thing. What I find is as we posture ourselves more and more in the things of the Lord, as we fix our eyes more and more on Him, as we choose to look upward more and more, the passage in Isaiah becomes more and more true in our lives. Isaiah 30, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And it was interesting with this verse, as I was thinking about this verse, okay, we get all excited about the, you will hear a voice behind you. Yay, that's great, that's awesome. But that's not the most important part. That is exciting, don't get me wrong, but that's not the most important part. The most important part is, what the voice says. This is the way. Now we get excited about that. Yay, I know the way. But then the second sentence is the most important. Walk in it. Oh. No, I'm just excited about hearing your voice. Or I'm just excited that you've actually pointed the way. But none of that matters if we don't have the last sentence. If we don't carry out the last sentence, walk in it. And that comes down to our choice. I was thinking about a question sometimes that I think we hear the Lord asking us and we ask each other, and it's a good question. And it's the question of, are you willing? It's a really good question. It's something really good to contemplate. I was thinking about this a little bit, like where, you know, a lot of the things in our lives, let's face it, I know, we know each other, and I know you better than you know each other. I don't know you better than you know you, but because you guys share with us, and each as individuals, or as couples, or as families, you share with us, and we appreciate you opening your lives to us. And like I say to everyone that, or at least most people that I've ever counseled, I say, like, it is such an honor, and it really is. It is an honor. Like I am honored that you would open up your life to me and open up sensitive places and hurts and wounds and struggles and relationships and all of that. Really appreciate that. And wow, that you make yourself vulnerable like that is pretty amazing. In the years of counseling that I've done, I find this. Most of us know what we're supposed to do. We are sometimes looking for answers, but like, oh Lord, what do I do? But most of the time, we know. It's not a mystery. It's not rocket science. It really isn't. Even like Morgan, you know, sharing this morning with us, opening herself up, and the thought life. And we've done sermons on 2 Corinthians 10 and take every thought captive, done sermons on Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all know that complaining isn't good. We all know that harboring those depressing thoughts aren't good and dwelling on them. We all know that trying to control other people isn't good. We all know that being unloving towards your spouse isn't good. We all know, like, all these things. We all know that being mean to your teachers at school isn't good and not listening, you know, and all that. We all know that. We all know these things. We all know cheating on your taxes isn't good. We all know that, you know, whatever it is, we know. We know when we get angry and those ugly words come out of our mouths, we know that that's not right. It's not that someone needs to come and say to us, oh, that wasn't very nice. Yeah, I know. Or, Kevin, you're being a little selfish right now. Oh, am I? Oh, really? I didn't know. I know. Like, I know when I'm being selfish. Right? We're smart. We're smart enough for that, aren't we? Even those of us who didn't graduate high school. Oh, sorry. Just teasing, Larry. Making sure everyone's here. So we know what needs to be done. And then we often ask the question of, are we willing? And we hear God asking, and it is a God question, it's good. Are you willing now to walk in it? Are you willing? But I think, I was thinking about this question too, and I was thinking to myself, we need to be even a little bit more direct. Because I find, I appreciate directness, I really do. I know it's uncomfortable, but I'm a tear-off-the-Band-Aid fast kind of guy. I'm not a pull-it-off-slowly kind of thing. I'm just like, hit me with it straight, and I'll deal with the immediate pain of it or the uncomfortableness of it, but just hit me straight. And so the question, I think, is better phrased, rather than, are you willing, let's just get straight to the point and, will you? Period. Will you? Will you? Whatever it is. You know, so we've talked about many things. So a few years ago we had a marriage seminar, and we talked about how to love on your spouse, to just put their needs first, to minister to them. And that's like, if I could sum up our marriage seminar, it really is that place of putting the other person first. Loving the other person, caring more about them. So I like, it's like this place of not, are you willing? It's just, no, okay, let's skip over that and just, will you? Just answer me straight. Will you? Not me, of course, but like, will you? Will you love your spouse more than yourself? Just tell me. And I feel like I'm getting bold in my old age, right? Just had a birthday, getting more bold. I always said that we would pastor like we raised our, like we parented. We'll pastor the church like we parented. And sometimes with our kids when they were smaller, not now, we are so blessed. But this actually shows proof is in the pudding. Maybe the process works. There would be times where, you know, there was back and forth and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I summed it up. I just, okay, are you going to listen or not? We've talked, will you do it? Will you listen? I just need an answer, yes or no, and your answer will determine which way I need to go in my parenting, you know? Just how you answer me, I just need to know, will you? And it just brought it to a point. It brought it to, like, boom, right there in the corner. It just, bam, will you? Will you take those thoughts captive? Will you lift your eyes up heavenward? Will you seek me with your whole heart? Will you love that coworker that just annoys you? Will you guard your mouth and not complain about different people in your life and different things? Will you guard someone else even if they're not guarding themselves? That's a hard one, right? Will you guard them? Will you love on them even though they don't deserve it? Oh, but they're doing this and that. Yes, they are. Will you, though? Just answer me that. Will you? I want to take you higher. I want to know if this is going to go that way. I want to know if I can take you higher or not. Will you? Not, are you willing? Oh, I'm willing, Lord. What that sometimes means is, I'm willing, but I'm not going to. Or, I'm willing, but I don't think I can. No, will you? I have given you the will to do it. I have given you the strength. You can struggle with all of my energy, he says to us. us. You don't have to struggle in your own energy. You can struggle in my energy. I will empower you. I will fill you. I will fill you with such power where you can love your neighbor like I love them. I will fill you with such power that you can stand in unstandable situations. I will fill you with myself so that you can love on your spouse, so that you can raise your children, so that you can discipline them. That's another one. We just had a child seminar. And it's like, are you willing to discipline your children? And eventually it becomes to, will you? Will you? Will you correct them when they need to be corrected? Will you discipline them when they need to be disciplined? And it goes with everything. It's just everything. And again, most things, not that complicated. I don't know about you, but the more and more I read the Word, again, and there's another one, right? Kevin and I were talking about reading through the Word. It's actually not that difficult to read through the Scriptures in a year. It's actually not that difficult to read through it in 6 months. And it's not about legalism. It's just, I want to get to know the Lord more. I want to know Him better. Will you? Will I? And understand, when I say will you, I'm not pointing fingers. Like, truly, I'm sharing what the Lord has been saying to me. So even with wisdom, you know, I ask for wisdom, God gives it. Will I walk in the wisdom that God gives me? That's the question. Because God doesn't come along and wave a magic wand and all of that over us. No, will we choose? So when I get up in the morning, the computer's sitting there. And even this morning, I have, during this season, because Craig is so busy, I check emails on Sunday mornings. Usually, during the winter, I never do, just so you know. I barely check my phone for texts, you know, either. But, every once in a while last year, you know, Craig, I got an email from Craig, and, I can't come in. Can you lead worship? Okay. So there's the computer, and I want to check just in case I have to get, you know, so I check. No email, no text. Okay. Well, the computer's already open. Would it hurt to find out if the Toronto Blue Jays won last night? Would it hurt to check the weather? Would it hurt to go over Google Maps and check out the golf course that we're going to be playing this afternoon? You know, measure distances, plan out my strategy? No, it's going to go into the forest anyways, but who cares? And I hear wisdom sitting right there saying, will you just shut that thing right now? You checked your emails. And praise God, I can say, I just, without a moment, to God's glory, and just shut it and grabbed my coffee and sat down and woke up just staring at that beautiful tree out in front of our yard and watching a blue jay land and saying, oh, Lord, that's beautiful. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this home that we have. Thank you for the coolness of the day. Oh, wasn't last night gorgeous? Don't have to have the air conditioning on. Just have a few windows open. It's great to thank the Lord for those kinds of things. Will you? Oh, but I don't know everything that God is calling me to. That's okay, neither do I. But will you walk in what He has called you to? That's how we start to climb. Praise, thanksgiving, walking out the wisdom that He has given us. And when He does flash that neon sign, yes, obey. Obey that. Get in the Word. Again, none of this legalistically, but just, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm going to lift my eyes heavenward. One of the things, for me, I'm not saying this is for everyone. This is just, but if it hits you, one of the things that I know, I didn't hear Dr. Michael Brown talk about Smith Wigglesworth, that for just no reason. That
that was spoken directly to me. That's in between a wisdom thing and a neon sign thing. That's, I'm not sure which it is yet. But it's almost this way, this thing of God showing me how to climb. And I'm just saying, this is for me. So, and I hear God saying to me, okay, if he says to me, are you willing? I can say, yes. As I was contemplating this, I was thinking about Peter. Yes, Lord, I'll die with you. I will go to the cross with you. I will, you know, if everyone else leaves you, I never will. And, oh, he was willing. But will he? And Jesus knew he wouldn't, because he hadn't, that wasn't a part of his life yet, that self-discipline and that, all those things that eventually would be built in his life where he would die for the Lord. He was willing, but he didn't. So with this, that phrase of, yeah, Smith Wigglesworth, not praying for more than half an hour, but not letting a half an hour go without prayer. It's like, will I? I'm going to head towards it. I can almost guarantee you I won't be able to right away, because I have patterns to change in my life then. Patterns take time. But I want to. And I'm walking towards it. And I know that that's part of answering this prayer of how to go higher for me. And I would put it out there for you as well, but I'll let God do it. God wants to take us higher. Are there any questions or comments? Yep.
I want to go back a little bit to when you were talking about people coming to you for counseling. And you mentioned how we know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to address that, because we don't always know what's wrong. And so mm-hmm. sometimes we know something is wrong, but we don't know why. And that's often why we go to counseling.
Right.
And I know I did that personally in my own life. So so the thing is, yeah, we know something is wrong. And so then what are we going to do with that?
Yeah.
And we need to go to God.
What I meant by that, and thank you for clarifying, because I want to make sure that's clear, because I don't want to diminish any of that. But often what I find is, yeah, we don't necessarily know everything that we're doing, everything that needs to be changed, but we do know some things. And like I said, we don't need to be, hopefully no one here needs to be convinced that complaining is wrong, right? Morgan doesn't need to, we don't need a sermon on it necessarily, although, maybe we do, but we all know that. We all know that being cruel to someone with our words is wrong. That's what I kind of mean, where we all, and I say we here because, A, I know everyone here, and I know we're all believers, and we have the Spirit living in us, and God has been working in us. So we know those things. Yes, we don't know everything that's wrong, and sometimes we will point out, you know, when you treat that person like that, and when you do, oh, really? And, oh, okay, you know, and we help with that. But many of us know, or all of us, I think, know at least some of the answers. Maybe I'll put it that way. Is that a better way to put it? Like, we know, and then it's really not a place of even God needing to teach us. I'm reminded of 1 John. I had that passage in there as well, where it talks about we don't need someone to teach us because we have the Spirit living in us. The Spirit himself is our teacher. It doesn't mean that people don't teach, but hopefully it's the Spirit teaching through me right now. But again, the Spirit teaches us, yeah, I know that that's not the best. Even in my own life, as people have counseled me, or as I've counseled others, often it's something like this. Point something out, and the person responds, and sometimes that person is me again, and yeah, I know, that's not the best. That's not good. It's like, yeah, we know. We already know. Now, will we walk that out? Does that explain it a little bit better? I don't want us to think that we know everything. We know enough to take the next steps. We know enough to take the next steps. Yep.
Yeah, so, I've just been, God and I have been having a lot of conversation about this kind of stuff over the last while. But this week, there's just a few things that I listened to and a few different sources. And, it was just really actually beautiful. So the one was the speaker who has had amazing experiences with God, and he's gone up. Literally, he's gone up, and he has seen Jesus, and God speaks through him. He has a gift of prophecy, but it's really amazing. But he just was sharing a story that he had read, and it was about this guy had experiences with Jesus, but he was in a dry place, in a desert place, and it had been limited, and he became desperate for God, and so he just felt, like he had said to his wife, I'm going to lock myself in my prayer closet, and I'm going to wait until God makes himself known to me. So obviously that was led by the Spirit. Everybody doesn't have to lock themselves in. But he was in there for, I don't know how many days, but it was days. And God made himself known. And then he just experienced him in an amazing way. But God showed him this, he showed him 13 things in his life that he needed to address. And it was so much about consecration, being surrendered and yielded, and just pushing aside all these hindrances, right? The clutter.
Right.
And he came out of there changed and transformed, and God just, flowed through him, and it was really amazing. The other thing, too, that I had listened to, so this guy had come up to the speaker and had said, I've been wanting more of God, and God's already been doing a lot in me, but I want more. Mm-hmm. And he says, but nothing's been happening. And he says, I've been waiting 3 years. And the speaker just said to him, well, what did God tell you to do? And he said, God told me to wait. And then he's like, so you wait. God didn't say it would take 2 years or 10 years or right. whatever. He was just supposed to wait. And anyway, that was so encouraging for me of, okay, Lord, I just want to listen to whatever you have yep. for me, and I want to walk it out. And also the biggest thing is, I wrote it down, because he talked about this, we don't want to have secondhand blessings or the crumbs. And this guy was saying to the people that were there, and they're all like loving Jesus, but that secondhand blessing is like the crumbs off the table. And he said, most of us are living with secondhand blessings. And I'm like, oh, that's true. And he said, do we not want the firsthand blessings? And it's like, yep, I want that, Lord. And all of what the Holy Spirit has for us is what we want. So we need to pursue, we need to seek, we need to wait, we need to worship him. It's got to be that we love him, and just, it's all about him, and then follow through. You can't just listen, but we have to follow through. So, yeah, I just want to say an amen to what you're saying. Good.
Thank you. It really is that, I know I've said it before, the Holy Spirit has said it before to us many times, but that following through, that walking it out, that choosing, exercising the will. And again, praise God, it's we can exercise our will through his strength. Like we can struggle with all of his energy, with all of his power. But do we? Just as Lil was speaking, I was thinking, every once in a while I get it in my mind that I want to get in a little bit better shape and da-da-da. And I know, it's not that I don't know, like, oh, it's a mystery. I have no idea why I am not in better shape. It couldn't be the chocolate chips. It couldn't be the bag of chips and the Haluvia dip there. Yeah, it couldn't be the green chair. Can't be that. That's just foolishness, Brian. That's just, you know. I know, and this is what I mean by, we know. Like, I know. But do I really want that? And thankfully for something like that, it's not as serious, because I still like my desserts, and I like my snacks, and but if I wanted to, I could. But the problem is, I don't really want to. Let's face it, right? Let's be plain. I want to go higher. And I know at least some of the things, whether through wisdom or through revelation or through the revelation of the word, I know the steps, or at least some of the steps. The question isn't, am I willing? The question is, will I? And I will see, right? Proof is in the walk.
Yeah, and what I keep seeing, like I'm looking at the arrow and then I'm just thinking about moving like forward and up, and just like I keep seeing like a ripple effect too, mm-hmm. onto everyone around us. So it's totally. Like, I mean, I love, you know, the turquoise waters of the Caribbean, and I just keep like I see like stepping forward with my foot or tossing a rock, and then just like the ripple effect that happens.
Absolutely. Around. Absolutely. So, are there any other questions or comments on this? Yep.
I'm just thinking back, like when in Matthew, when they were asking about sitting next to Jesus on the throne, right?
It's actually in Luke, I believe.
The one spot here is in Matthew as well. Where is it here? She said to him, where is it? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine shall sit, one on your right, one on your left. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you're asking. I know that's not a direct relation to what you're saying, but in other words, a higher position.
Right.
I want my sons to have a higher position. And the thing that he came back with, it just jumped out at me this week. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?
Right.
They said they were able, and he says, yeah, you will, actually. Well, what is that cup? That's death. That's suffering. And I think as Christians, we're raised with this idea, okay, God is, or Jesus was a propitiation. He was a substitute for us.
Yep, and he is.
And we coast on that surfboard. And so it seems to me that it's not just sit back and God's going to work the sanctification out in us. But what you're saying, to go higher, it is going to be painful. There is death. There is going to be struggle. And there is our will involved. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's the footprints, right? We're not doing it alone. We're doing it with him. And as you said, struggle with his energy. But I don't know. Do you think maybe some of our problems has been in the past, we just sit back on autopilot and think that, well, Jesus died for me and this is all going to happen somehow magically, as you said, with a magic wand, without us taking those steps forward ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. There are other problems as well, but that is part of it. Yeah, and it is He is our propitiation, and we are saved and born again. But working out our salvation, the command is to us in Philippians, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And where we need to walk in it, you know, you hear a voice behind you, great. And the voice says, this is the way, great. Now you, because that's the implied pronoun, right? You walk in it. You have to walk in it. You have to walk. And I know it's hard. Like, don't get me wrong. I know. It is like what we understand about addiction and all that. Like, whether it's video addiction, and there are major studies on how addicting the internet and screen can be, like screen time. And your brain actually craves it. And the stuff, the neurons being fired, you know, like what's going on in your head and the chemicals and all that. Or food, it can be addicting. Sugar is addicting. And all of a sudden I hear the chocolate chips calling out to me, Kevin. It's hard. I'm not joking. You're laughing. Feel bad for me. No, I've done it to myself. Carlene gives me the stare. I'm not saying it's easy. I get it. I get taking those thoughts captive is difficult. I get that not being selfish is difficult. I get that not complaining is difficult. I get that not despairing is difficult. I understand. I don't say I understand unless I understand. I've been through that depression. I've been through depression. I've been through despair. It's hard. Anyone who has gone through that mental anguish, that emotional anguish, it's hard. Crazy hard. But when the Lord, when the Spirit in us says, this is the way, walk in it, are we willing to take those steps that he's pointing out? Are we willing? And again, not just are we willing, will you? Will you walk it out? I'm going to go Julie first here.
Just back to what you were saying and Carlene was saying, like about counseling and people like pretty much know like some of the stuff that, this might be a whole other sermon, but putting off and putting on is like key, I think. So
totally.
Just knowing like you have this thing that you're struggling with, say selfishness, or like I resent that person. Okay, so now what do you do? Like Morgan was saying, like, okay, so I'm complaining too much. Okay, I know this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and like just to say stop sometimes is like so difficult. So don't just like stop. What am I going to put on instead?
So
Thanksgiving,
good.
Right?
And I love that. Like, it's such a great. It reminds me of something John Tifo said to me once. Like, if you have an addiction that you want to get rid of, you have to. Okay, yes, you get rid of it, but you need to replace it with something. And like Thanksgiving, I find if someone is annoying you and like just you have a hard time in a relationship with someone, start praying blessing over them. Yes, just start blessing them.
Sounds like Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
And how I was feeling very, I don't even remember the feelings at the time.
Right.
You reminded me, like, great blessing. And it, like, gave me, you know, continual, God's heart for him.
Totally.
And where, you know, it's in a good place now. And, you know, and sometimes that feeling comes back again, but then, you know, pray blessing.
Just
and
pray blessing.
And same with, like, you know, some people at work or whatever, like, it's like, okay, pray for those who persecute you.
Yeah.
And
it's beautiful.
Yeah. And
love your enemies and mm-hmm. pray for those who persecute.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's praying blessing. It's sometimes giving blessing, like doing something for that person. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you. I'm going to buy you a coffee and give you coffee. I'm going to compliment you on how you're dressed right now. I'm going to ask about your family. I'm going to, you know, ask how your week is gone. I'm going to da da da. And you just not just pray for blessing. You bless. That goes in everything. Yeah, it's good.
I was reminded this morning, it's probably not the best analogy, but it brought back something my dad used to say. He would ask us to do something, and we would call out, yeah, and he would shout back, not yeah, do it, right? Like right. That was, and so I'm not saying this to any, like, it's just a reminder to me, right? Just this inspiration, right? I look for things like that to be an encouragement to make that step. And then I was thinking again about, I said it maybe last week in a Bible study, this 2% versus the 98%, yeah. right? And I follow the 98% of unfaith as opposed to maybe I only have a little bit, but I could use that.
Yep.
And here it's like, well, I don't want to always go up, but I probably still could even if I didn't want to.
True.
Right? And I think that would be more honest,
yep.
right? I don't want, because I think that's a work thing. Like, not works, but that's a job. That's a task. That's
a
not
choice.
Candy.
Yep.
That's not whatever, right? That's not pleasure going up. That's usually something that's a little uncomfortable or difficult.
Yep.
So why would I want that?
Yep.
Usually that's me that doesn't, but yep. I can still do it,
yep.
right? So that would be, when I think of my dad, he didn't care what I thought or felt. He wanted me to
just do it.
Yeah.
That's good. It reminds me of what Forrest was saying there, where, yeah, we sometimes in the church have bought the lie of, no, if it's of God, it'll be easy, it'll be simple, it'll be, you know, I'll want to. No, it will sometimes be difficult, and it will be choosing against what you want. And because who wants death? Who wants death? Who wants to carry their cross daily? And yet that's what we're called to.
Mm-hmm. But I like how you reminded us of like doing it in his strength, because
yep.
he already came down to us. And so it's like him lifting us
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And that's where one of my prayers often is, okay, Lord, I believe, like, I know that I'm supposed to walk this out. So I'm going to choose to walk it out. But you and I both know that unless you fill me with your energy, this is going to stall really quick. I'm going to be in the ditch real fast. I'm going to crash and burn. So I know I have to choose this. I have to choose to love, or I have to choose to say no to self, or I have to, but you need to fill me. Like, and he's there filling the tank. He's there filling the gas tank. He's there filling, filling, filling. I still need to choose, but he's filling. And that's one of my prayers always is, Lord, you know, if you leave me on my own in this, it's going to fail miserably. It doesn't mean I'm not going to try, but it is going to fail miserably. Let's face it. And that's where I find then you have a time where you look back, like Morgan said, and it's like, it was God. It was God. He filled my tank. He propelled me forward. I was choosing, but it was him. It was him.
Sorry.
No?
And like what I always remind myself of is it's not trying, it's trusting.
Mm.
So you're like, yeah, you're trusting in him. And it's like, I can't do it in my own.
I think it's both, actually, though. You do, like, there is an effort.
Sure.
Because, like, I just fear that if, I know no one in here would get this wrong necessarily, but, like that's kind of the folly that Forrest is alluding to that's in the church sometimes. Well, I just trust that God's going to take care of that in my life. And do, you know, like, he's in me, he'll do it. And it's like, no, you have to, again, I struggle with all of his energy. I trust that he's going to supply the energy, but I have to struggle. Like, I have to engage the will. I have to choose to love my spouse. I have to choose to guard my thoughts. I have to choose, you know, and even there, like, even when we say something like, I have to choose to love my spouse, it's not just, we got to break it down into even smaller increments. I have to choose, like, you know your spouse, I have to choose to wash the dishes. I have to choose to I don't know, compliment them. I have to choose to engage in communication. I have to choose to hug them. I have to choose, you know, to guard my thoughts against them. I have to choose, and so on and so forth. All these, like, we get into the details of it. Like, I have to choose it. I have to choose to be there. I have to choose. I have to, you know, and not just marriage, but everything. And so, but I struggle with all of his energy. So it's both a trust, and I don't like the word try either. Like, it's like your dad, like, no, I don't want you to try, just do it. You know, okay. It's like, yeah, it's a good way to do it, you know, just, but I have to choose. So will you? And that's the question I'm going to leave with us today. Will you? Not are you willing? And I think God wants an answer. Will you? He's talking to you about something right now. I don't know what it is. And he's not saying, are you willing? And when he says, will you? I do hear this, like, where if you answer back, I'm going to try. He's like, no, 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 no. Will you? Because I will give you the energy. I will give you you have my spirit. And my spirit wants to just pour through you. Will you? Not will you try, will you? Because with God, there is no trying. Because he can accomplish everything. Nothing is impossible. So if we decide, then he will supply, and it will be accomplished. It will be done. That's a whole nother sermon too. But yeah. So Lord, you know, for me, just in what you have shared, even with the prayer and the I'll walk towards it, and this is going to be done in my life. This is going to be done by your energy. Because I know, I don't just hopefully believe, but I know that you will supply abundantly. And I'll walk this out. And when I fall, I will get back up in your strength and continue to walk. And when I fall again, I will get up again and continue to walk. I know that you are faithful. And we love you and thank you, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. Just so you know, I know there are probably at least 20 offshoot sermons to what was just said. Like, I do, and I'd love to preach them all right now. But we can't, and because we're full now. Like, yeah, just let the Lord minister those things to you as well, okay? Amen.